This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad, and with me, Tan Chung Han, and the top business stories of the day. As we've been saying, it's China, isn't it, Han?
China.
There are some voices of dissent, though, and that includes India. But we'll come to that later. Let's start with the opening ceremony that happened yesterday with President Xi Jinping and his announcement that and pledge of billions of US dollars to this project, as well as a call for countries to go beyond the old paradigm of, you know, of nation-state rivalry and mutual suspicion to something more cooperative to push global trade further.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if this OBOR or One Belt, One Road initiative can actually, you know, be a unifying theme for those 65 countries that is set to be directly involved, right? I know connecting Asia, you know, the Middle East, you know, Africa, and all the way up to Europe as well. So the headline figure here is 78 billion US dollars, at least as according to the Bloomberg article. CNBC says, you know, like there's it could be over 100 billion. So that number is the amount pledged by President Xi Jinping for his pet project, so to speak, and he's calling this the project of the century, you know, and it has been lauded by world leaders. You got the UK finance minister, you know, saying that talking up, right, you know, saying that this is a great project. You've also got the Pakistani prime minister also, you know, echoing the positive elements to this initiative. But I think, yeah, you're right, you know, nevertheless, there are still some, you know, really, really monumental execution risks here. This is a long-term project. I mean, at the top of the hour, right after the 7 a.m. news, we spoke to Kingsley Jones, and he says, "No, well, there's still many details that our investors are skeptical about. You know, this is, after all, a very long-term initiative."
You know, what we also had before this conference, where, you know, as it were, the world, barring some, came to Beijing, to China. We had the situation of, you know, President Xi going out to the world. He of course, you know, remember he visited Malaysia. He's also visited Bangladesh. And, you know, when he was in Bangladesh, he made pledges of a couple of billion US dollars for infrastructure, you know, spending there. So China has been going out to the world, courting it. In fact, President Xi was in England and, remember, you know, treated as the head of state with all the pomp and pageantry, meeting with the Queen and such. All that, I think, signaling that China, this is really a culmination of, you know, what's been put in place and what's been happening the last year or so.
Right, and so the question now is, you know, whether China can really lead global growth, or, you know, can lead the globalization agenda, you know, much like the Western powers have done so, you know, in decades past. Now, it's not just Xi Jinping who's doing all this work. You've got the China's the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB. You know, so leading up to this forum in Beijing, that One Belt, One Road forum, you've had the AIIB adding 7 new members to join the bank. Now, essentially, you know, as the name suggests, this bank seeks to, you know, finance or, you know, provide financing for the various infrastructure projects in Asia. So the 7 new members are Bahrain, Bolivia, Chile, Cyprus, Greece, Romania, and Samoa, bringing the total membership now to 77 countries. No, but ultimately, I think, you know, drawing it out to the broader perspective here is, you know, are these initiatives, you know, be it the AIIB or the OBOR, you know, are these signs of China's growing soft power, you know, in the global context?
And also the reception is receiving in different countries. Mentioned earlier, you know, skepticism coming from the Indian government, didn't send a delegation, but many Indian intellectuals and, you know, members of think tanks are in that meeting, you know, attending different forum. But what about Malaysia? Malaysia, I think we've had a fairly positive embrace of this project, a very positive spin on Chinese investments in this country coming from all sectors, especially the mainstream media, you know, along with the government, about, you know, how this might help our developmental needs.
Oh, certainly. And we'll get more we'll get into more details on the Malaysian perspective, you know, in a few minutes from now. But I think, you know, still, I think an important note to be had here is the fact that the U.S., you know, did send their senior director for Asia on the National Security Council, and also a special assistant to Trump, his name being Matt Pottinger. So he was there. there. You know, so, I mean, granted, it's not necessarily, you know, Trump himself, but nevertheless, there was a U.S. representative, you know, there. So at least you have that kind of, that kind of relationship, at least at that level, between the world's two largest economies.
Now, I mean, then that's quite surprising, considering isn't the U.S. Director of Trade Industrial Policy, or assistant to, who's an assistant to the president, also and on the White House National Trade Council, Peter Navarro. I mean, he's famously the person who's kind of anti-China, right? A very strongly worded position on what America's relationship to China should be.
But, you know, as we have seen from President Xi Jinping's visit to Florida, right, you know, whereby, you know, President Trump has actually softened his stance, and we have also seen how, you know, the U.S. have backed off from labeling China a currency manipulator. Now, on top of that, you know, besides the rhetoric or the lack thereof, you know, you've also got this trade deal that was signed in the lead up to this forum. So the U.S. signed a trade deal with China promoting finance services and beef, among others. So it looks like the U.S. and China have beef, but in more ways than one, both on the positive side and the negative side as well. You know, so I think it's interesting to see here how, you know, the U.S. has softened their stance, and they are, you know, actually signing agreements and perhaps trying to find some way to work with China. I mean, after all, these are the world's two largest economies. You don't want them to be at loggerheads with each other, right?
So a bit of a charm offensive and a win for President Xi in that visit to the U.S. Of course, the other person who's in China for this conference is Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, of course, the leader of the Russian Federation. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, you know, him playing the piano as he waited to meet President Xi. I think he played the Russian national anthem on piano. So that was a kind of a human moment. Yeah. And I wonder if Trump did, in fact, attend this, he would then have, difficult questions to be answered about, you know, because he's very buddy-buddy with these strongmen, right?
So right.
That's probably one of the things that won him over to President Xi, the fact that President Xi is also a strongman.
I mean, I wonder if Trump has any musical skill at all. I guess...
He can blow his own trumpet, for sure.
Pretty good. Well done. Very good. I think it's important to note, and this is a segue, you know, into the U.S. economy, because on Friday, we had some U.S. economic indicators out as well, and it was basically signaling that the U.S. The economy is back on track somewhat. You've got retail sales, you know, up 0.4%. You know, it's a better. It's slightly lower. We came below expectations somewhat, but nevertheless, it did signal a rebound of sorts. You know, so you have that story going on, and you have the China theme going on as well. So again, you know, I think global investors will have to ask themselves, you know, if this is a zero sum game, or if this is an opportunity cost somewhat, you know, whether or not they want to hang their hat on the, you know, U.S. Economy's recovery, you know, do they want to gravitate towards those kind of investments, you know, versus China and their very grandiose plans of, you know, reviving this Silk Road and, you know, trying to implement this One Belt, One Road initiative.
We'll be back with more business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.